A lot going on in Raleigh right now. And again, a lot of the talk has been, ever since the budget process began, predictably so, about funding for education, K-12 and college. Of course, fracking is being discussed right now. Mm-hmm. Action taking place pretty much even as we speak on that. Health and Human Services, Medicaid cuts and things like that. But there are a lot of other facets of the state budget that are at play here that have a significant impact on the state of North Carolina, North Carolinians, folks here in Chapel Hill Carrboro that aren't really getting talked about at all. And we were talking about one of these before we started.
Yeah, you know, you talked a minute ago about these impacts of the quality of services that the state provides. But what we're seeing here in the short session, it only being a couple weeks old, is the continued kind of attack on local government authority. And not only keeping local governments, counties, and cities from being able to do what they've been able to do for years, but also removing some of their revenue stream to so that even the things they're still able to do, they won't be able to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, right now there's the fracking debate's going on as we speak, but and that it undermines all local authority to be able to ban and regulate that kind of activity in our counties or in and around our cities. And then today, just this morning, the General Assembly passed and is now sitting on the governor's desk a bill that would end local government's ability to impose a business license fees, business license tax.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to affect some of our neighbors much more harshly than it's going to affect us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a cut at the very few. There's only a very few sources of revenue that local governments have, and mm-hmm. now this one's scratched off.
So how significant is that for, say, Chapel Hill?
Fortunately for Chapel Hill, not so much. But it's about $120,000 a year we receive from our privileged license tax.
Mm-hmm.
We reduced that some time ago. So back in the 2000s, mid-2000s, late 2000s, we reformed our privileged license fees and reduced the impact of those fees on our revenue streams. But other cities have millions and millions of dollars that they rely on coming from this source. I've stood with other mayors from other communities nearby and in fighting to keep this, but that's another loss. And here, the General Assembly is saying that they don't like this tax. They don't like the idea, and they believe it's being abused in some areas. And they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. They're not imposing any reforms. They're just saying you are now no longer allowed to use it.
Right. Is it is this surprising in any way? The short session began just a little while ago, and sort of the initial line that came out of it was, well, it's the short session, we're getting in and out, and we had this I think Tom Tillis in particular said we wanted to make the short session as short as humanly possible, and still there is so much controversy coming out of the General Assembly. Is that surprising to you at all?
Well, I think the commitment to do this in short order actually is making the whole thing worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because, there was, with the privileged license tax issue, there were some folks who were saying, hey, look, there are some bad actors out there, so let's try to just limit some authority. Let's say you can't have privileged license taxes that are, you know, super high. Let's put a cap on it. And that was a compromise that looked like it may have passed, that may have had legs to get through. But because there was really no time to reflect, there was no time to have the conversations across the table, there was no time for anybody to just consider the impact or to even care about the impact this has on city budgets, somebody else in the Senate had an idea, well, let's just eliminate the whole thing entirely. And because there was no time to be thoughtful, rammed it through.
And it's a fee or a tax on businesses specifically, right? So business owners. So there would sort of, I imagine there would be sort of that impetus in the Senate to eliminate it, if not not just cap it.
Yeah, but you know, it's not, you know, and I was just looking at here at the station, you have your little certificate that the station pays their privilege tax to the city.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it was, but it's not very much.
Right.
Here in Chapel Hill. But you know, as an attorney, mm-hmm. I have to pay a privileged license tax as well,
mm-hmm.
but I don't pay one to the city. The state long ago said all lawyers just need to pay theirs directly to the state and not to their local governments.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not eliminating that one. So see, that sweet plum of revenue for the state, they don't care about that one, but they're willing to eliminate the source of revenue for cities around the state, which I think is just unfair.
What is it? We're speaking with Mark Klansmith, by the way, mayor of Chapel Hill. What is the rationale for cutting back on local control? This has been an issue since the GOP took over the General Assembly, and I know not just you, but town officials in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and like Hillsboro too have talked about it, and all over the significant cutbacks on local governments and municipalities' ability. Orange County commissioners have talked about this ability to set local policies and to do things that impact that community and shape the community the way that local mayors, councils, commissioners, town managers want. And this is coming out of a General Assembly that's controlled by a party that...
Hey, they want small government, they say.
And at the local level, right?
Right.
So, right.
Yet they're taking away the local government's ability to actually be able to have any kind of self-determination.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a great question that I don't think we can understand what the answer is, because it doesn't end there.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a bill now to eliminate every city in North Carolina that has a tree protection ordinance of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Eliminate any regulation on trees whatsoever. They're also trying to eliminate our ability to provide design standards for new development. And they're getting in, not just in these big issues, but even into the minutiae of planning in our communities, like mm-hmm. tree protection and design. I mean, it's the opposite of being committed to small government. It's actually getting down into the weeds at a level that I think most people feel uncomfortable. And one of the things I told our local legislative delegation, we had breakfast with them a few weeks ago, was that, you know, we have some amazing places in North Carolina. I always talk about how great Chapel Hill is. But, you know, Wilmington's a great city. Mm-hmm. I love going there to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I love going to Asheville. Beautiful town. Very different from Chapel Hill. So, and Wilmington and Asheville and us, we're great places to be. We're kind of like gems, right, in the pantheon of North Carolina cities. But we're all so distinct because we have local governments and people in our communities who created a special place
mm-hmm.
that made it different from everywhere else. And because we had that commitment to an identity. And they're stripping our ability from being able to continue to work on maintaining that identity and that distinctiveness. Mm-hmm. And when their legislators are going so far that they're willing to make Asheville not exist any longer. I mean, there is a threat that Asheville, and a legitimate threat, that Asheville may lose their charter as a city and literally be wiped from the map. And that is the distaste that some legislators have for cities. And
based on what? What's there's so much that's coming out of Raleigh in the last couple of days that it's overwhelming to think of. But
well, these legislators,
so what's
it's
this
like
one?
They got many of them just got plucked off the street, never having served in any level of government before, and then they got dropped into the legislature and are now taking out any kind of battle or any kind of grudge they had against their neighbor. So one of the legislators who actually represents part of Buncombe County
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of Asheville itself
mm-hmm.
has longstanding disputes with the city of Asheville. Now he's a leader in the state house. And he has spoken about, he's taking away their water. We have Owassa, they have a water a utility there, taking away their airport. And threatening to strip their charter, because he has a longstanding grudge against the city because they had some dispute years ago.
Right, right. That's one representative.
That's one very powerful representative. And to think some folks might laugh, they go, oh, why would they ever do that? That's extreme, right? Why would they do that? Well, today Goldsboro is smaller than it was 5 years ago
mm-hmm.
because the General Assembly de-annexed
mm-hmm.
part of Goldsboro. The city of Lexington is smaller than it was today, than it was 5 years ago, because they de-annexed part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a concern in Chapel Hill, too, with, this is what we've been talking about with the ETJs and Rogers Road and how that's affected by Raleigh as well.
Absolutely. And there's even a threat that ETJ may disappear
mm-hmm.
with this legislature. Probably not in this short session, but it's something we're going to be looking at as a possibility in the long session beginning in 2015. There may be no more extraterritorial jurisdiction, mm-hmm. which affects our ability to plan for our future. And it's a, I don't know, there's no real easy answer to your question, yeah, why they behave this way. Sometimes we just need a change, though.
It is overwhelming what's coming out of Raw. There's just so many different issues at play. We'll be talking more about K through 12 education coming up later on this hour, and there is so much else going on. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.